Time this would be for an interception. Carr in an empty backfield. Motion. Tipton. Carr. Back. Carr steps up. Hit as he fires the football. And it is intercepted! It is intercepted by Reed Blankenship! It's intercepted by Reed Blankenship! And the Eagles are going to pull off the upset!
Oh, turn out the lights on the Saints.
Yeah, it was a perfect time for an interception, and Reed Blankenship delivered. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian with us right now. The guy on that call and all the calls yesterday, Merrill Reese, after a dramatic 15-12 victory for the Eagles down in New Orleans. Good morning, Merrill.
Merrill.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel wonderful today. I really do.
Well, Merrill, that was a heck of a win, considering all the ups and downs during the game. Merrill, let's go through the final big play on offense, which, of course, was the Dallas Goedert 61-yard play. Take us through your vision on the play, how you saw it unfold, because, you know, it's 3rd and 16. I'm thinking, let's just try to get 8 or 10 back, and then we'll go for it on 4th down. And as soon as Dallas catches it after the guys ran into each other on New Orleans, the seas kind of parted there, and it was like, oh, boy, and he was off to the races, Merrill.
Yeah, it was really a perfect pick also by Jahan Dotson helping set that whole thing up. But then Dallas Goedert, of all the tight ends the Eagles have had, they've had so many really good tight ends. I think he's one of the absolute best in yards after the catch. He turns into a running back at that point. He's so good.
Well, it was his yards yesterday, Merrill, 170, the most by an Eagles tight end since 1965. It's a long time since we've seen a tight end have that kind of day. Merrill, that was an amazing play, and obviously capped off at the end with a Saquon touchdown. But how about the first Saquon run, Merrill? We've seen a few of these now, the one he ran for the touchdown earlier in the fourth quarter. We've seen a few of these so far this season. The burst he has, Merrill, still year 7 of his career, it's still there. I'm so impressed with the play of Saquon.
Isn't he amazing? He really is. Jim Sepp, I saw him hit the line, and he goes into open space, and then he just runs away from everybody. It's a track meet. He wins. He is unbelievable.
Merrill, what did you make of the play yesterday of the defense? So maligned during the week, and with fair reason. I mean, they hadn't played well the first couple games, last in the league in yards per play allowed. But they go to New Orleans yesterday, Merrill, against the best offense statistically the first 2 weeks, and I thought they dominated them really from start to finish. How impressed were you with the defense yesterday, and specifically that defensive line?
They were great, but you know what the whole thing about this team is? This is a good football team, and we thought going into the season this is a good football team. But we also know, or we should know, we say it all the time, that from a football standpoint, an NFL standpoint, September's a lie. We see things early in the season and we say, oh, my goodness, the Cowboys, they're amazing. Look at the way they annihilated Cleveland. And then the next week they get killed by New Orleans. And then there's New Orleans going into this game. They score over 40 points a game. They look unstoppable. The Eagles hold them to 12 points. I mean, so many things. You look at the results from yesterday. The Panthers. I mean, it's not exactly like they brought in an all-world quarterback. They replaced Bryce Young with Andy Dalton, who's forever, and he's a backup-type quarterback now. And they beat the Raiders. And you look at the Seahawks killing the Dolphins. Of course, the Dolphins are going to be in big trouble without Tua. The Packers... the Eagles beat the Packers, and they are very much a contender, and now they're doing it with Malik Willis. So there are so many crazy things that happen. How about the 49ers? The 49ers are now a 1-2 team. So I think we judge too quickly. We have to wait until everything settles after the first month of the season. But I will tell you this. I think the people who had high hopes for the Eagles going into the season are not going to be disappointed.
Merrill, I'm glad you brought that up, that September could lie to us, because I think a lot of people right now, and it's fair based on so far this year, that they're saying Jalen Hurts is a turnover-prone quarterback. 6 turnovers in 3 games. Merrill, how do you view Jalen? I mean, yesterday there were some downs, the interception, the fumble, but also I thought a lot of ups. I mean, he completed well over 70% of his passes. He has the game, you know, the big throw to Goddard to help set them up for the game-winning touchdown. I thought there were a lot of good from Jalen, but obviously a couple plays, you know, he needs to clean up there. What'd you make of Jalen yesterday?
Well, I thought he played well. I thought he played very, very well. He'll be the first to tell you that the turnovers hurt. He feels badly about them. don't be so sure that the interception was all his fault. I think there was some communication breakdown there, and I think it had to do with the pattern and everything else, but I don't think it was all on Jalen. Of course, you can't have the fumbles, but he knows how important it is to stay away from the turnovers. The turnovers can kill. But he's a great young quarterback. He's only 25 years old. He's getting better and better. I had a lot of people say to me going into the season, you know, the thing about Hurts is he's lost his speed. He doesn't have the running ability that he had a couple of years ago. Well, guess what? He hasn't lost a thing, and he is going to continue to get better. And I think the combination of Jalen Hurts and Kellen Moore is going to prove to be a big, big, big success.
Merrill Reese with us here. Merrill, you kind of called it there, saying, man, we could use an interception here, and then Reed Blankenship delivered on that final play to seal the deal. Merrill, Reed Blankenship here, he's an undrafted guy. When we talk about the Eagles' defense, we don't say his name very often, but he's got 6 interceptions in his first 28 career games. The last guy to do that in Eagles uniform, his name was Eric Allen. Merrill, this guy, he's got a knack for the football, and it seems like he makes big interceptions at big moments.
Well, you know, you say a knack for the football, and I call it instinct. He just seems to feel what is coming. Do you remember who his first interception was against?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, against Aaron Rodgers. And then, of course, he picked off the Packers again in Brazil, and then he comes up with this game-ending interception yesterday. Reed Blankenship has great instincts. He just has the feel for the game, and he makes big plays. And he's got a lot of ability with his hands. I mean, he could become... He's a receiver type in the secondary. Often guys drop the ball and you say, that's why they're defensive backs or safeties, and that's why they're not wide receivers. Well, in his case, he's a safety with wide receiver hands.
Yeah, and both of his picks this year, not easy catches, and he got his hand underneath to make sure it didn't hit the ground. Merrill, great calls yesterday. We appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the week after a win. Thank you, Merrill.
Merrill.
Yeah, I feel, guys, it's good to talk to you, but I really feel uplifted. I know you know, there's an old saying about the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it or hearing about it the next game. But truly, yes, there are things that can be better. They cannot continue taking the procedural penalties that they've been taking that can end drives. But this is a good football team, and I am really feeling strongly that they will continue to get better.
Well, Merrill, we hope so. With a big one coming up Tampa on Sunday. Thank you, Merrill.
See you guys.
There
he goes.
Merrill Reese there. See, Merrill's feeling good.
Yeah, I feel good too, Joe.
After a good win yesterday.
Yeah, I feel good too, Joe, but still, we can't expect for it to bounce our way every Sunday.
I agree with that.
You know, and you can't, like, I wouldn't be as upset as I am about some of the play calling if this hadn't been 2 weeks in a row. I mean, I know I sound good and crazy because, like I said, I was in a locker room where, you know, you say, hey, man, you take a win any way you get it. But when you see moments where you're talking about 3 points, could have swung the game either way in both games. Like, you're right, Joe. We might be in games like this all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, the Kansas City Chiefs were in a game with the Falcons last night. Team we just played that were in games like that.
And, Hugh, it's becoming the NFL now. The margin of victory in the NFL, I saw the stat before this past weekend, and I don't think there were too many blowouts this week, so it probably didn't change that much. But the margin of victory is as small as it's been in years.
Like, yes.
Games are decided
parity
by basically 3 to 4 points,
yes,
every game.
And you're going to sit here and tell me that you're okay with some decisions, key decisions, that are being made that could swing the momentum of the game. Because I'm not a mathematician. But if we take the 3 points before the half and the score, the Saints came down and scored, right? We would have had to kick a field goal. Bottom line is this. We wouldn't have needed a touchdown to win the game. We could have kicked a field goal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With our money kicker. But yet instead, we don't let him kick at the half. We don't let him kick at the half when he's money. Can't remember where the ball was at, but we were in scoring position.
Oh, they were on the 15-yard line.
But, Joe, we're going to put him in a situation where he got to kick a 60-yard field goal?
After he's sitting around for 3 hours.
He's been chilling.
Yeah.
He ain't been chilling. He probably on the sideline warming up. But you okay with that. But you're going to hit me with a win is a win. But you're going to – a chip shot for him at the half that's going to tie the game 3-3. We're not going to do that.
So I'm not.
But we're going to ask him to kick a 60-yard field goal.
To be clear, I'm not okay with the head coach.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm okay with the roster, though. I thought the guys they had a lot of injuries. They overcame the injuries, Joe. They overcame their own head coach. They overcame the right tackle going out, the right guard. At that last possession, they're without their top four receivers.
And he balled out.
And they found a way. They found a way to win the football game.
Despite of the turnovers and despite of that three-point swing. They found a way. But guess what? I ain't trying to live like that every week. I'm not trying to do this.
This is who they are.
No, but that's not sustainable.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying it's been a year plus. They play a lot of these games.
Can I be honest with you? If this game wouldn't have turned out the way that it did yesterday, we lost. Do you know what the phone calls would have been today?
Fire Sirianni.
All day long.
No question.
All day long. I can't live like this, man.
Well, you better buckle up, buddy, because this is the season. All right,
I can't live like
215-592-9494. Back to all your phone calls on the other side here. Your reaction to the win. Was it a good win? I say so. Hugh's got, you know, he feels
trepidation.
Good, yeah, Hugh's got a lot of stuff there today. He got a lot of stuff.
I'm an emotional train wreck.
You are a train wreck today. I'm feeling good. They won a football game. They outgained their team by 200 yards. All right, Hugh will break down the play of the D-line at 11:30, including a breakout performance by Jalen Carter and what he said about his play after the game. You hear from Carter as well. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.